Welcome back to Let's Talk Ed. And Zahi, we have John Mercer joining us again today. We have been talking about technology in the classroom and different things. And when we left off in our last segment, we were talking about virtual experiences and things that we could do. And I know, Zahi, that was a conversation that you wanted to dig into a little bit more. We talked about it in the realm of doing simulations for learning, but you have some other ideas for that.
Well, I have more other questions than ideas. And my question pertains, so yes, on the simulation, I really appreciate the examples you gave, but I can think about how we can mix the students who are in our classroom with the students who are joining us live, but remotely, but and take on our students on various experiences. So, for example, if you're teaching art history, you can walk them through a museum that you don't have access to in your classroom. You're not going to put them on a bus and take them and experience it and then have all of the learning happening. And we can go down any number of different routes. Can you talk to us about those possibilities? Can you talk to us whether or not, in effect, you can bring them effectively to the classroom and bring the learning dimensions that perhaps are available but haven't been utilized effectively yet in smaller colleges?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, my perception is we're at the very early stages of those types of tools, being of the sufficient quality and then cost, right, to be able to really penetrate into the market and be kind of reach a point of consumerization from a manufacturing and affordability perspective, right, to really be able to spread. But yeah, I think your point's a great one, where those types of tools, whether you're going to be completely encompassed in a VR experience or whether you're going to be able to have an overlay with the real world, right, and then potentially interact with it depending upon your use case, I mean that just opens up a world of possibilities, right, and scenarios to be brought to either the classroom or the student at home if they have the right tools and software that never would have been reachable before. And especially, you'd argue even for more so in rural areas than urban areas, but it would be, pretty universal even for urban areas. I mean, you can, whatever scenario, art exhibit or whether it's a healthcare situation or whether it's a historical reenactment, that you want to transform or transport your students back into a time in history. There's just so many creative opportunities that never would have been achievable in the past. So, the challenge right now, in a lot of fronts, I think still ends up being cost, and then just making sure you have the quality content. And I think there's a good amount of that out there, but that's going to be the area I think that's just going to explode right in the next few years as people develop and have kind of your app store for content and have the option to buy the cameras and the solutions to be able to create your own if there isn't something already on the market. I just think for folks like ourselves who are always challenged from a staffing perspective, folks having the time to create things and or the skill set to create things with the level of realism, et cetera, right? The quality that we would want. I think my personal opinion is there'll be a lot of value in being able to purchase that content as opposed to having to always develop yourself. Having that option to build your own, right, can have relevance if you want to, let's go back to a medical example. If you know that a lot of your students are going to be working in a certain hospital or a certain OR, and you partner with that facility and they allow you to capture a rendering, right, or a VR or immersive simulation experience, you can then take that and then reproduce it back on your campus so that when they go to work at that location, they've already feel like they've been working in that exact environment, right? I think that's an example where building your own scenario can be of value, but I'm hopeful that there's going to be a lot of the real quality scenarios that have had professionals putting a lot of time and effort into building things that we know are going to lead to good, you know, learning outcomes, right, that are really going to have developed. Because I don't think we should take lightly the amount of thought and preparation that it takes to build those. If we're going to go scenario based, and the objective of that experience is for them to have a certain outcome, right, it's going to take a lot of thought to do that. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes, right? Kind of a crowdsourcing and curation of content.
Chris always asks about artificial intelligence. Chris, I'm sure it's on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, I think it's hard to have a discussion about the future of technology without talking a little bit about artificial intelligence. And, you know, I think we've kind of gone from that fad where we have our ChatGPTs and our Midjourneys, and they're kind of fun to play with and see what that's like, to really being something that is here to stay at this point. So, you know, a little bit that I'm thinking specifically is, from an instructional standpoint, what are some of the things that we can be doing to leverage AI in developing, you know, good, compelling classrooms and learning outcomes, and making sure our students are walking away with a good set of knowledge?
Yeah, it's a good topic, good questions. So today, you know, where we're seeing the market at is, again, you know, similar to our other conversations, where we're still in the infancy, right? I think we've gotten past just the theoretical, and there's actually starting to be some value, right, that's being provided. It's just not theoretical in a lab, but we're still at the beginning of this really developing into where value is harnessed from the tools. But we're really seeing the AI being sprinkled in at a very kind of use case basis. And then as time goes on, I think we'll get to where we have an overarching AI that can help in a number of areas. So to give specific examples to make that hit home more effectively, an instructor might have AI-enabled tools in their LMS where if they so choose, they can have it assist them in building some of their course planning or their quizzes or tests or assessments. And maybe they'll ask AI, hey, you know, produce a 10 question assessment for the students and touch on these different topics. And maybe that will then get them 70 or 80% to where they need to be to just make that process, right, of course development and the content for the course stuff just more efficient. Again, right, we're seeing a lot of the AI you have, the results that AI produces, you know, AI will be confident in whatever it says. And so it will often be confidently wrong, right? And so you need to make sure you review it. But it's helpful because it might get you, again, 70 or 80%. And now you use your skill set, right, in the more meaningful way to get it from that 70 to 100. So helping instructors there, helping students. I think the biggest area that we're having conversations with is how AI can really start to more individualize learning and helping to enable self-paced learning. So from a tutor perspective, where tutors may have been reliant upon being in person and involving a human. And so then you have constraints on both sides, right? Access and availability there to, as AI-based kind of tutors come around, it really starts to kind of democratize the access to a personal assistant to help you learn whatever content area that you maybe need some help with. And then you combine that, I think, with or point that in the direction of self-paced learning, as opposed to necessarily being stuck on a certain cadence. The potentials on that side of students having these virtual assistants to really make sure that they feel competent and confident in, you know, the areas they need to learn is going to be super powerful. So,
well, I know I was talking to a student that graduated from our institution that was working on a platform that was sort of lecture capture, but for students, in that it served as sort of a note-taking app. It could go back and summarize that. And the thing that I really liked about it was, you could do this in a variety of languages as well. So if you have somebody that is in that English as a second language space and they need to capture this in a different language, here is an opportunity to do that. You know, obviously you run into some, you know, again, AI can be confidently wrong. But still, even if you could get that at 80%, that could be incredibly helpful for a student.
Yep. And being able to summarize, right? I think to your point, I mean, you can have AI listen in on classes, meetings, et cetera, and give you a summary, you know, kind of a Reader's Digest summary or a bite-sized version of what's been touched on. Let's say in a meeting space, you can also have it, you know, capture, and then this might, I guess, end up being somewhat relevant in classroom scenarios also, but having the action items of like, you know, okay, sure, we covered this, but this is what needs to be done for the next class or for the next meeting. So who needs to do what by when aspect of things. You know, automatic chaptering of videos. So, you know, you can, when you go back afterwards, whether you were there and just want to revisit it or you couldn't make it for whatever reason, instead of necessarily just having you know, a 60-minute session where you have to go and try and find, right? You don't know what was covered when. You can have the automatic chaptering, automatic transcripts where you can search through those with translations as you're referring to. So, just a lot of like assisted learning types of aspects that are going to be that are super helpful. Some of that stuff's already available today. You know, data privacy is a big factor in this, and so making sure that the little AI brain, right, that has access to see and hear and touch this data isn't going to share it outside is one of the big challenges that a lot of universities are facing today, because it's this powerful tool, right? And I think as you alluded to in a previous segment, everybody wants to be productive. And so we'll take tools from the consumer world and apply them to our business world. And we got to make sure that those aren't going to create risks for anybody in respect, confidentiality, privacy, et cetera. So it's
at the risk of sounding super rude, I'm going to call us off for this week. Yeah, well, nothing new here. folks, this has been another installment of Let's Talk Ed. This week, we Chris and I spoke with John Mercer about IT. IT in the sense of the learning, in the sense of how can we enhance it, and the future. Perhaps more so the immediate future than 10 years down the road, folks, because things are accelerating. We thank you for joining us. We really would like to hear from you. We hardly ever hear from anyone. We'd like to know whether we're on the right track. We'd like to know whether Chris is funny or not. We know he's not, but
we know I'm funny.
Okay.
I have to say your guys' prison stories are fantastic, so maybe you guys should cover those in a future one.
Sure, solitary confinement can do that, right, to you. Right. With
it
that
nice
said,
yeah, nice meeting your parole officer also. Very, very nice.
Yeah, well, my ankle bracelet is itching. Thank you again for joining us. You can find us every week, if I don't have COVID, three times a week. We also come to you not just through YouTube, but through wherever you get your podcasts. Smash that bell on YouTube so you know that we've got new stuff on. Subscribe. Like, but also share. Let the others know that we're out there and that we're fighting along with you for a better future for education and learning across this nation and the world. Thank you, John. Thank you, Chris. We'll see you next time, folks.